Excuse me, everyone, if I can have your attention, please. Probably wondering why we gathered you here.
Let's give them something to talk about. Let's give them something to talk about.
Roll it.
Roll it.
Welcome to the Raise Your Game Show, a podcast that unpacks and dissects the strategies and principles of high performance in sports and business. Here's your host, Alan Stein Jr.
In the first half of season two, I teamed up with two good friends to unpack their thoughts, perspectives, and the lessons they learned from six of the most popular signature stories I tell regularly in my keynotes, workshops, and trainings. The second half of Season 2 will follow the exact same format, except this time we'll dissect and discuss rarely told stories that I've only shared publicly on a few occasions. Now, please keep in mind, these stories are very unrefined. They need to be workshopped and tweaked a lot before they're stage ready. But this is the first step of how I develop content. In this episode, I'm joined by my friend Kyla O'Connell, a brilliant executive and senior partner at Asher, as well as a phenomenal speaker, sales trainer, facilitator, and coach. Kyla and I are going to go behind the curtain of a story of DeMatha's double overtime loss to Gonzaga in the 2015 WCAC Championship and how the lesson I learned about losing with class directly applies to business leadership. Let's take a listen as I share this story with Kyla in studio for the very first time. With less than 30 seconds left in double overtime at the 2015 Conference Championship, we found the game out of reach, and we were going to lose. Coach Jones called a timeout. The team dejectedly huddled up, and you could tell from their facial expressions and body language that we were going to lose. Why would Coach Jones call timeout in a game that we could not win? He wanted to make sure he taught the team a lesson that we would carry with us for the rest of our lives. He had everyone pick their heads up and look him in the eye. And then he said, "We're obviously not going to win tonight. We let this one get away. It's okay to be disappointed and upset. I sure know I am. But it's not okay to show poor sportsmanship. We will lose with class. We will lose with our heads high. And we will lose graciously. They outplayed us tonight. Period. No excuses. This program is about much more than you and much more than how you're feeling in this moment. We will learn from this, regroup, and we will use it as fuel moving forward." Then the team took the court, played hard for the final few seconds until the final buzzer sounded. There was nothing fun about watching their fans storm the court, seeing their players and coaches celebrate with unparalleled elation, and hoisting the championship trophy overhead for the cameras. But there was a quiet inner peace in knowing that we lost with class. Life is full of ups and downs, and handling the downs with poise and grace speaks volumes of your character. While losing is never fun, losing with class is something champions do. What's your thoughts on that story? I know that was a quick hitter.
I always say to salespeople, if you're not comfortable with losing, you better find another profession.
Oh, solid.
Not because if you're an elite salesperson, you'll lose less than you'll win, sure.
Yeah.
But you're still going to lose.
Yeah.
And most of the time we know why we lost. Sometimes we don't. Best practice is to find out why.
Yep.
There were two times in my sales career, I always ask why, but usually you know why.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it was, you know, different methodology, alignment, or I don't know, price issue or whatever.
Yeah.
But so usually you know why. So getting into debrief to find out, you know, the first thing we actually train salespeople to do, it goes along right with what you're saying, is congratulate their decision.
Yeah.
Congratulate them that on their decision, whether it was with you or not.
Right.
That shows professionalism. It shows confidence, and it shows grace, which
yes.
is where I think, you know, this story kind of aligns. And then ask if you could find out why, you know, try to get a debrief. There were two times in my sales career that I learned why we lost, and they were a complete surprise to me.
Really?
Yeah. So I was like, okay, good to know. Those
yeah.
things will never happen again.
For sure.
Because they were in our control. So yeah, I mean, and what I'll say to young salespeople or, you know, people who are frustrated because they're having a, maybe a rough month or quarter. You know, if you're not comfortable with the lows in sales, then, you know, it'd be like going into be a firefighter and then be uncomfortable when you actually have to fight a fire.
Yeah.
You know, it's part of this.
That's exactly what you signed up for.
Yeah. So part of what makes people an elite salesperson is how they handle the losses.
Yes.
And like I said, you know, we teach them to first congratulate and then try to get a debrief. And then also circle back in 30, 45 days.
What did you say?
Part of what makes people an elite salesperson is how they handle the losses.
Yes.
And like I said, you know, we teach them to first congratulate and then try to get a debrief. And then also circle back in 30, 45 days. Because
yes,
there's a very good chance that that initial decision may not work out.
Exactly.
And so the way that you handled the loss could actually come back. And it has, in my career, come back and served me well because we ended up winning later.
Absolutely. And they'll always remember how you bowed out at the end. They're mm-hmm. never going to forget that. That were you someone that was graciously able to accept the fact that they made a decision that didn't include you? And that's going to be top of mind if they ever have to revisit it or if something else comes around and you're once again, you're able to pitch your services. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that impressed me most, and I've always just had such strong feelings for Coach Jones, is that he has the presence of mind enough to realize at that particular point in time that he was dealing with adolescents mm-hmm. and he was dealing with 15, 16, and 17-year-olds who more than likely weren't going to accept losing with the grace that he wanted. So he made it a point to actually highlight that and
yeah.
to be able to pull them together and say, this is bigger than you. It's mm-hmm. okay if you're upset. That was the other part that I loved about that story is he acknowledged the fact that they should be upset. He
yeah.
was upset as a coach. Like, we were heavily favored to win that game and we didn't. And you have to acknowledge that. But kind of on a similar episode when you and I were talking about character and the difference between the seen and the unseen hours. Well, if you only have high character when things are going well and you're winning,
yeah.
then you really don't have high character.
That's easy.
And
that's easy.
Yeah, without question. And, you know, and it's fascinating because, you know, with a group like DeMatha basketball, they win the vast majority of their games.
Mm-hmm.
So losing's not something they experience a lot. Well, and I would imagine it varies from industry and depending on what you're selling, but I would imagine in most sales, even elite sales professionals, it's probably closer to baseball, I would imagine, where you get 3 hits for every 7 strikeouts mm-hmm. or outs. So you're probably in sales dealing with that type of failure, rejection, or loss more often,
yeah.
which means it's every bit as important to be able to learn to do that with consistency and handle it with grace and poise.
Absolutely. One of the things that I learned from you, Alan, was to focus on the next play.
Yeah.
You know, I think as an athlete in college and in high school myself, anybody who's played sports, we've all sort of instinctively trained ourselves to do that.
Yes.
You know, I'm mad when I lose a sale. I'm mad
of course.
if I shot my best shot and the goalie caught it. I'm mad.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm not going to, like, you know, let it ruin my effort in this game or
yes.
ruin my effort in this month of trying to hit my sales numbers.
What did you say?
At the same time, I'm not going to, like, you know, let it ruin my effort in this game or
yes.
ruin my effort in this month of trying to hit my sales numbers. So I liked your very quick 2-word technique, which is, you know, just focus on the next play.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've thank you for that. And
of course.
It's been something that I have carried through to my coaching clients and sales people who come into our training. Like, you know, you got to learn from it.
Yeah.
Accept it with grace and then focus on what you're going to do next.
Yeah.
And in also in line with that is in sales, you never want to need any specific sale, right?
Right.
First of all, your customer can sense it.
They can smell that.
They can smell it.
Yeah.
There'll be too much temptation to cave on price.
Yep.
Or start to lose your credibility. And even if you do need it, you got to fake it, right?
Yes.
Because there have certainly been sales that I've lost in my career where I thought, you know, I had the commission spent in my mind already.
Yep. Oh,
and
man.
Something happened. Or maybe they came back and nibbled us. It's a term that, you know, we're in the 11th hour of this deal. Everything looks like it's going to be great. And then they come on at the very last minute and want more.
And make a demand.
And if we decide as an organization that that's not, you know, in line with our brand and where we want it, our principles, then we will walk away.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to do that in a believable way or not feel like you need every sale.
Yeah.
Because then the losses are a little less painful because you've done the work outside of that one sale that you'll just get the next one.
Absolutely. You know, when I think of athletics, and I always love how you're able to translate this stuff to the business and to the sales world, you also have to be able to step back and think big picture. Mm-hmm. You know, again, if we keep using DeMatha as the example, most of DeMatha's players go on to play college basketball. So you also have to make the assumption there are going to be some college scouts that were watching that game, and they're going to keenly watch how you deal with adversity.
Yeah.
Because they know when you get on campus, if they give you a scholarship, they know they're not going to win every game during the 4 years you're in college. So they want to know what type of young man they're dealing with when how they face adversity. In fact, I remember when college coaches would ask me about players, and then GMs would ask about players in the NBA, they always wanted to know how they dealt with adversity. In fact, most of them preferred, this sounds crazy, most of the coaches I talked to said they loved when they went to watch a recruit that they really liked and the recruit didn't play well or they lost a close game, because it gave them such insight into what type of young man this person was. That if the only time you go watch them, they score 40 points and win, you don't get the full picture. So they actually liked the fact that they could watch someone go through some adversity. And while none of us prefer adversity, I mean, unless you're psychotic, we have to recognize it's part of what we're going to go through, and we have to learn how to deal with that. And dealing with it with poise and with grace and doing it the right way is always the right move. It'll never serve you in a positive way to pout, to point fingers, to complain, to blame someone else, or try to tear somebody else down who clearly was the better team that night.
Yeah.
So I think having that perspective of thinking big picture and knowing that I can't control the fact that we just lost, but I can control the fact on how I'm going to respond to this loss. And I'm going to choose something that's very favorable, as you said so perfectly, for my brand and for the organization I represent.
Yeah. And just get them next time. You know, focus on winning next. And the big picture in sales and business, I mean, businesses have all kinds of challenges. I mean, you know, and if their CEO was, you know, throwing a temper tantrum, or their VP of sales, you know, because they missed their quarter, then what kind of example does that allows everybody else to do it? You know, so you got to step back in those leadership roles, and we're all leaders of our own, you know, behavior and attitude. But you got to step back and look at the bigger picture. And I think that the best leaders and the best salespeople are able to do that.
What did you say?
We're all leaders of our own, you know, behavior and attitude. But you got to step back and look at the bigger picture. And I think that the best leaders and the best salespeople are able to do that and not spiral. Look, they might be mad, you know, for 24 hours and, you know, learn from those lessons. They're going to brush themselves off. And then, you know, just because we lost this game or this sale doesn't mean that we're not winning organization or an elite salesperson.
Yeah. And one last story to kind of piggyback on what you said about potentially winning their business again in the future. I'm in a private Facebook group for professional speakers, and someone had posted the other day that something that works really well for them is she keeps logs of all of the gigs that she didn't win. So you're holding a big conference and it's coming up in March, and you didn't choose me as your speaker, but I still have on that calendar when it's going to be. And a couple days before, she'll drop them a note that just says, you know, hey, I know I wasn't the right fit, but I hope your event goes spectacularly well. I'm always going to be rooting for you. Just keep me in mind in the future, type of thing. And she said, I mean, she can count on two hands how many times last year that person eventually said, you know what, I think you would be a good fit for us. I mean, it's just human decency. And I think when you show someone that you can still care about them and wish them well, even when you didn't get what you wanted personally,
right,
it just speaks volumes of your character. And people are attracted to people of high character, of high moral fabric, that do things the right way. So even if you have to kind of grit your teeth to smile and wish somebody well, it's always in your best interest to do that.
Absolutely.
If you'd like for me to share stories and lessons like this with your organization or at your next event, please visit allensteinjr.com to explore all of your options. And make sure you hit me up at Allen Stein Jr. on Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn with your thoughts and feedback. Well, that's it for now. I hope this has helped you raise your game.